Dziękuję, bo
glad to be with y'all this evening. We've really enjoyed being able to join with you in the past, and found great blessing from hearing elders from across the country. It's quite a uplifting to be able to join with the saints in the middle of the week and hear the word preached. The last song that was selected, a phrase in that, just to begin, struck me. It says that take full possession of his heart. First, you know, begins with assist thy servant, Lord, a prayer that the Lord would assist the one that stands before you. And that is our prayer this evening. But that struck me. It says take full possession of his heart, that we might glorify thy name. And, you know, particularly being that this is the middle of the week, and I just drove 3 hours away from a work site to make sure we were here on time to be with you all. And that's no great feat. I don't mean to draw attention to that. But what I mean is our mind is filled and busy and active and occupied with those things that tie us up during the week, the things that we must, the tasks that we must go about during the week. And to turn aside for just a little while and really, really concentrate on the Lord God of the heaven and earth, and to fully place our minds on him. It takes the Lord possessing our heart, that would be our desire and that would be our wish tonight, that we would be able to praise and worship our Heavenly Father. That just struck me that, you know, their scripture also says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. But when the Lord possesses it, when he takes possession of it and holds it in his pure and righteous hand, then our minds and hearts might be purged from the things of this world, that we might turn to him for just a little while. And also, of course, it struck me that the possession of the heart and the new birth, that the Lord takes possession of each and every one of his that he has chosen before time, that he possesses that heart. It's bought and paid for. And no one can take it away from him. Now, that's not really what I had on my mind when I sat down this evening, but it just struck me, and I hope that you were able to enjoy that thought with me. If you have your Bibles and would like to, I would ask that you turn to Psalm 20 this evening. Try to speak to you just for a few minutes for a thought that's been on my mind the last couple of days, and really, really this evening on the drive home. In Psalm 20, we'll go ahead and read the entire psalm here. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And these last few verses are what I'd like to spend a little time on this evening. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. And when I thought about that verse, and where he's saying some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Here's who we trust in. Here's who we place our faith and hope in, our strength in. The psalmist is describing man to a T, that some would trust in chariots and some in horses. A horse is a very strong animal and used in many different applications to assist man, especially in times past, for transportation, for work, and a beautiful animal. And he was often used, a horse was often used in battle. A man would use that as a means to carry him into battle. And the strength of the horse might be used in conjunction with a man, that he could overcome his enemy using the strength of the horse. And there's a lot of trust that can be put in the things of this life and the things that are good in this life, the things that we are blessed with and have around us, that the Lord's creation, that we are able to trust in and use. But those things also have limits. The horse might stumble. The chariot might have a malfunction with its wheels or the harnessing or something of that nature and fail when you're in the heat of the battle, in the time when you need it the most. Or if we were to go to where a horse is used for plowing, in that time when you're needing to get the crops in, just in a crucial time that your family might be fed, and your horse fails you or your harness fails you. These are things that would bring a man low. He would become distraught and overwhelmed, you might seem, when the things that he's put his trust in have failed him. But the psalmist here says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And you have to back up to verse 6, though, when he's saying we'll remember. Now, I know that the Lord, verse 6 says, I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And the fact that he has knowledge and faith and trust that the Lord will be able to hear from the third heaven. Now, if we are comparing there that, you know, a man's placing his faith and trust in a horse, something he can touch, something he can see, something he can smell and is right in front of him, easily accessible. But he's saying that he will trust and knows. He is confident enough that he makes the statement, he knows the Lord will hear him in the third heaven. But this same man, when you ponder on this, this same man also knows, when he thinks about it, that I can shout as loud as I want to, But Brother James can't hear me in Mississippi. Why would I think that God could hear me in heaven? Faith imparted to us at the new birth opens our eyes, captures and possesses our hearts, that we have the knowledge and we have the understanding to know that the Lord can hear to the third heaven. He hears us with the intercession of Christ Jesus our Lord, bringing those prayers and supplications up to his throne room in a perfect and righteous manner. But the main thing I'm wanting to grab out of that verse there is that the trust and what made me ponder on that is in this world that we live in, and it seems especially with the recent things that are going on and all the mass of information that we have nowadays, it's difficult to know what to trust, who to trust. And to be able to think upon someone and put our faith and hope in someone and look to the only being that is pure and righteous. And every word that he has ever said or caused to be written is truth. Everything that he ever did or accomplished while on this earth in his fleshly form and nature was truth. Everything that he has done in a spiritual way to us in our hearts and to cause our minds to be turned is truth. Trusting in the Lord God Almighty gives us strength far beyond horses and chariots. There's always, and I'll use this example because I'm not much of a horse guy myself. my brothers were growing up, a couple of them, but I'm more of a machines person myself, gearhead, you might say. But I might put trust in a machine that I'm using, piece of equipment that I'm using. But there's always some little portion that I'm holding back. There's not full trust and complete trust in that piece of equipment or that horse that someone might be riding or using. There's always a little bit you're reserving that, you know, for yourself that you're going to accomplish or that you might need to accomplish if the failure happens. I want to take you to 1 Kings to an example here that Elijah gives us. And I won't read through the entire story. Y'all are all very familiar with it. But the scene where Elijah calls Ahab's servants the prophets of Baal and says, "You offer a bullock and call upon your God, and I'll offer and call upon my God, and we'll see who answers, and the people of Israel will be shown who is God, who is the one to trust in, who is the almighty, all-powerful God." And Elisha goes through this entire scene here up against, well, 850-1 odds. There's 850 prophets of Baal and one Elijah. So 850-1 odds. Now there's some trust he placed in the outcome, in the one he called upon. And you all know the story and how the scene went, that fire fell from heaven after the prophets of Baal had made their a long day of exercise, I'll call it. And then Elisha prays after his preparation of the altar, and fire falls from heaven by God's work, by God's hand, and consumes even the rocks of that altar. And Elisha also exhibits great trust in the outcome in going to, and slaying the prophets after that. But then a little verse, as I was reading this chapter the other day, at the end of it struck me after all of that great event that I've paid a lot of attention to. At the end of chapter 18, when they see the cloud, Elijah's servant goes out seven times, and they see the cloud of rain. And it's been a drought in Israel for all that time. And Ahab gets in his chariot, you know, and Elijah says to him in verse 44, and he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." You need to hurry up because it's fixing to come a big rain. And you want to get home ahead of it, in my words. "And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now, I had never particularly noticed that verse in this light, but it adds on a greatness in my mind after all those acts that he's just performed. When I think about the physical exhaustion that Elijah's just been through, and then this rain cloud comes up, and Ahab's in a chariot, and he's just told him, hurry up and get ahead of the rain. So I doubt if Ahab is sauntering along with his horses at a walk. He's moving along at a pretty good pace to get ahead of the rain. And Elijah is able to run ahead of the horses. Now, I didn't run track or anything in school, but I could had some cousins and friends that ran, and I've never seen them where they could outrun a horse. Now, the scripture is pretty plain that the hand of the Lord was on Elijah and gave him the ability here in this situation. But Elijah also had to trust the hand of the Lord. And he had to take some action there and gird up his loins. And the clothing that they wore in that day, he would have to tie that up, the garment that would hang down around his legs, tie that up around his waist so that his legs could be free to run. That's how that, what that means there, girding up his loins. Get his legs free and get all that out of the way so that he might run ahead of the chariot. So that he might trust when the Lord has placed his hand on him, that he would go forward in the direction that the Lord had sent him. We run a race. We press towards a mark. And the hand of the Lord has been on us in possessing our heart in the new birth. And the hand of the Lord is on us in our daily lives from time to time. And it's on us in keeping us safe and keeping us protected daily. Run, my friends, gird up your loins and trust in the Lord. Don't let those things of the world and the commotion and information entangle your legs and feet that you might trip and fall when the Lord's hand is on you and you're running forward. Gird your loins up and get those issues and problems out of the way, those things that would hinder you and make you struggle, that you can run towards the mark and press into the kingdom. Head towards the high calling in Christ Jesus. Trust in Him. Have faith in His direction and the way He would have you to run. I would turn, for sake of time, really, I want to stop by Lamentations just for a couple of verses there. These are very familiar as well. In Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Not my faithfulness, but the compassions and the care that the Lord has are new every morning to you individually, the one that whose heart He possesses. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Here's the answer that our heart can remind our mind of and give back to Him. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. Because of that will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. There's times... Turning back quickly over to that psalm, there's times, it says in verse 8, but we are risen and stand upright. There's times when we need to stand also. Elijah in that instance was to run, but there's times when we are to stand. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of Christ Jesus. Again, I know I've used the example of the battle before, but there's times that the soldier is called upon to hold the line, to hold what ground he has and possess it, and be strengthened and trust in those behind him. We can stand fast when the knowledge that not only is the Lord behind us, He's on the right hand, He's on the left hand, and the Lord has passed before us. Through the fire, through the valley, through death, hell, and the grave. And we can stand firm in the assurance, in the hope that He is with us and will stand with us. I'll turn quickly to Romans chapter 5 and hope to wrap this up. Continuing on with that thought there presented in Psalm 20, that they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the only way that a sinner might have peace with God and stand before him, as Ephesians would say, holy and without blame. And be at peace, not only with God, but have peace in our minds in this daily walk. Have peace in our minds that peace has been restored through Christ Jesus. That wall of justice, you might say, of a thrice holy God has been opened up by the way of Christ Jesus, and peace has entered and connects us through the faith of him that saved, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Here's what the psalmist says, we would stand upright. What do we stand upright in? We stand upright in grace. We stand upright in the grace of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In this trust that we described in so many ways in this world where we have a lack of trust or things that falter or fail us, the trust that we have in grace, that we might stand firm in our salvation, in the hope of eternal glory, eternal bliss, heaven being our home, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, we can rejoice in peace. Here's a happiness that we can enjoy each and every day, and a satisfaction that we have something solid, someone solid to trust in, to hope in, to have faith in, and to establish ourselves in, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us and strive every day to look unto him, to call upon his great name, because we know that he can and he does hear us through Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope some of these thoughts have been a benefit to you, and thank you for having us this evening.